views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Radio show on this wet Wednesday night. I'm calling this a wet Wednesday night, June 20th, 2018, because it is pouring in parts of Texas. Over there near, what is it, like Port Aransas, I think that's what it's called, and Corpus Christi, let me see, and McAllen. It's almost as much water over there as Harvey.
Ooh, right wow. Now.
Yes, Hurricane Harvey. Yes, they were actually alerted to move to higher ground.
Really? Ooh,
Lord, I'm just having a flashback of Harvey. I remember when people were moving their vehicles to that parking lot. Let me see, it was a parking lot that was more on an incline, and so right. There's people that live in the lower valley. Cause, I mean, you can drive down the street in Houston area, Houston metro area, and just leaning over to one side or just dip or this curve, and I'm like, check out. Then you go all underground, and it's like, oh my goodness. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Oh my gosh, yes, just uneven lanes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I remember people moving their cars to higher grounds, and it's still pretty much that area was inundated with water because people had to rescue their neighbors in the boats. And Trump talking about the Coast Guard came here and rescued people. No, I didn't see them until, maybe a week or so later. But most people here, like we said, have boats, and so people were rescuing each other.
Yes.
All right, so welcome in to
what he said was all a lie.
It's all a lie.
It's all a lie.
It's all a lie. So namaste to you, Featherlight. Namaste to the audience, and namaste
greetings,
to you, Fabi.
Greetings, bonjour, mademoiselle.
Bonsoir. Hola. Comment allez-vous? All of that good stuff. Comment está usted? And
peace
more.
And light. Peace and light.
So, I'm super excited about the show tonight because we are going to unpack the opioid crisis. Is the opioid crisis creating a lost generation? All right, so tonight we're going to go deeper into our opioid factoids, and so stay tuned for that conversation. And of course, For the Light has Love the Body for us.
Yes.
We have African Spirit Hot Topics, and you have a special challenge for us, so I'm looking forward to sharing that. Chess. So as we raise our frequencies and lift our vibrations and speak our truth, we hope that you continue to join us on the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show on Wednesday nights here, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can call in to share your thoughts at 704-802-5056, and press ** to unmute yourself and join in the conversation. You can also follow us at the BTRs. If you join the BTRs, that's BTR community for only $24 a year, and you can join the social media experience. And then you can follow us, and you can see all of our, well, we'll give you snippets of some topics that were shared from each show, or just conversations. So,
and we'll show you different photos, mudras, right, different asanas and positions that we really can't show you on the radio. You can just log on to BTR. I hear that other thing, Facebook, is in more troubles. Selling names to three countries in China. What in the world is China doing with your info? Who knows? Come on over to BTR and be yourself. I'd be put in Facebook jail over here.
Oh my goodness. Lord have mercy. Indeed. So I think we have a letter tonight, so we'll have to get letter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so stay tuned for the letter after the 10 o'clock break. All right then. So I will open up with shall we open up with our traditional poem by Langston Hughes? All right, Harlan. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester and sore? Fester like a sore and then run. Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load, or does it explode? Langston Hughes. You know, I paused so I could see if I would get some snaps. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, all right. Langston Hughes. Thank you very much. Yes, Langston Hughes. Dreams deferred. How many dreams have been deferred? Has your dream or dreams been deferred? And if so, do you still want to bring those dreams into fruition? Do you still want to manifest those dreams? Are you pursuing those dreams? Or did you give up? Did you give up on your dream? Is it too late?
Never too late. As long as you have breath in your body.
Maybe you can adjust it or
some form of it.
Like
I wanted to be a professional dancer in New York when I lived there, but I didn't really go out for it because I hadn't had any like formal training. But in the long run, I did end up teaching dance, and I did end up performing and getting paid. So
paid gig.
I did.
Dance gig. All right.
I remember I danced for one group, and this lady was a senior place. And she said, "Oh, you do so well. It was just so good. You should be a professional." I'm like, "I am. I'm getting paid." Trust me, when I leave out here, they're going to lay some money on me. Thank you.
I will be compensated for my skills and talents, ma'am. Thank you very much. All right. Well, you were able to have some sort of reality or actualization with your dream.
Right. It was really, I got the same pleasure and like thrill and satisfaction and fulfillment that I would have gotten had I been on like Hollywood stage or something. It still meant just as much to me, because I was really doing what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key. I think that's a great segue into my quote.
Okay.
See the possibilities, not the problem.
Yes.
See the possibilities, not the problem. It's about possibilities.
It's all about the possibilities.
All right.
And here is my standard quote that I will keep saying. A new person will hear it every week. And it is, ask yourself, who am I?
Who am I?
Become that which you are, the you were meant to be. What if you decided, and this thought just came to me this soon, what if you decided to drop all pretenses and just be you? Just be you. Start with certain people. You know, you act a certain way around certain people. Some of us do. We act a certain way around certain people, you know, because it's like, I got to put on this mask. Okay, but what if you just decided to be yourself? Will they still like you? Think about it. If the answer is not a quick yes, then maybe it's time to weed out the energies that you surround yourself with, or at least limit the time that you're around them, because no one can do you better than you.
Better than you.
So do you, because everyone else is taken.
So true.
Now here's a new quote for the week. It's also me. I really like this because I think this will hit home with quite a few of us. The seed of suffering in you may be strong, but don't wait until you have no more suffering before allowing yourself to be happy. It is possible to live happily in the here and now. So many conditions of happiness are available, more than enough for you to be happy right now.
Right now.
You don't have to run into the future in order to get more. I hear so many people, I'm sure everyone has, say, I will sure be glad when Friday gets here. I should be glad when Saturday gets here. I'll be glad when Wednesday gets here. We're rushing the days. Okay, so whatever this day is, find something wonderful in this day.
Live in the moment.
It can just be anything. It can be just walking. If you're walking and then you see this pretty yellow flower and you just think, you know, how perfect it is just growing out of the ground. The beauty all around you.
The beauty. Mm-hmm.
and I don't know. It's we can find happiness in little things. And sometimes when we go through a lot of suffering, you know, year after year, and, you know, this thing happened, or maybe you had something traumatic happen in your childhood or what have you, and you've had a lot of suffering, you've had a lot of sorrow. Sometimes we can become so accustomed to being unhappy or being sad or sorrowful, or if you've got this long-term illness or whatever. You get used to that feeling and you don't even want, you block the happy things that could come to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, you get comfortable feeling, how are you doing?
Feeling blue, always angry or depressed or grouchy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and people really don't want to be around grouchy people that are just constantly grouchy every single day. There's an issue.
Every contact.
That's draining.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely draining. All right. So thanks for sharing that. I have to give you a couple of snaps on that one.
Thank you. I'm taking it back.
Cheers.
All right. So let's do, before you get into the hot topics, I wanted to do just a quick, like, 3 minute or so recap of last week, what we talked about. Sacred chakra healing. Okay, so keep in mind you have the right to feel and experience pleasure. Just what we just talked about. When you meditate on orange, the color orange. Do the child pose. Google it. Child pose. P-O-S-E.
Child pose.
Really, really easy. Act as if you're out of town. You know how when you go out of town, you feel a little bit more freer because nobody knows you, you know. You just feel like you can do some fun things. So when I was in the hotel business, a couple of times a year I'd get free weekends, and I would take my family. We would stay right in Memphis, but we would act as if we were out of town and see all the things.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do that. Do that. And orange is the color of change. So is it time for a change in your life?
Yeah. Is it time for a change?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. We also talked about family ties. Sometimes we make some very bad decisions with our families because we want to bond. We want things to be okay with them at the expense of our own suffering. Love yourself first. When the contact you have with them, with a family member, serves to bring you down, put you down, or make you feel like you're not good enough, you're always stressed to the max when you leave them, or you're made to feel you still haven't done enough for them. It's time to love yourself. It's time to love yourself enough to let go and love them from a distance. You don't have to stop loving them. Just love them from a distance. The love is still there. You have a right to love yourself first. And I saw this quote and I wanted to share it with you. Think about it. It says, I was taught their feelings were more important than mine. And that's what a lot of people were taught. They were taught, well, you know, you don't want to hurt them. But I'm hurt. Okay. So unlearn that. Deprogram this. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. Lastly, love the body. We talked about bicycling. So I wanted to add this. Go at your own pace. I didn't get into that. Go at your own pace. Don't think of bicycling as it was back in, you know, when you were a child, your butt all up in the air and you're trying to outrace somebody. You just go at your own pace. You cruise. You're sitting on your seat. And by the way, get a good seat. Get a good, you know, like ladies, get the kind that says saddle, because that means it has extra room, you know, cushion for your butt. Okay. And then we talked about for the buttocks. What is that other word? Gluteus maximus. Slave wages. Okay. Gave some tips on stop working on somebody else's dream. Some of us spend our entire daylight hours making someone else's vision come true. Visualize your own dream and take small steps toward it every single day. Use your talents, share it with others. Think how you can help a million people versus how you can make $1 million.
That's right.
Then the wealth will come.
Okay. Yes, yes. Thanks for a recap for the line.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Think of how you can help a million people versus making $1 million.
Yes.
Because it will come.
Yes, it will.
Everything that's for you will come. Mm-hmm. And it'll come right on time. Create your own world. All right, so hey, are we ready for some hot topics before
yes,
we go into our topic for tonight? Oh, because, oh my God, I can't wait.
If you want to know what's going on in the opioid world, here is the place, because Black Rose knows all about the opioid.
Oh, it's just so much. It's almost like African American history. Almost. I mean, it's just like, oh my God, these people go deeper and deeper and deeper. It's like an onion. You just peel, and you do so much. Oh God. So, all right. So tonight for our hot topics, I'd like to first start out with, I read that Starbucks for the light is closing, about 150 stores next year.
Really? Mm. Due to poor
performance. But you know what? See, people not buying all of that $4, $5, $6 coffee like that anymore. people just don't have the money like that. As many people before when Starbucks became popular. No, people don't have money like that anymore to just spend. People know the stock market is getting ready to crash. Gas is high as I don't know what. Rent too damn high. I'm like that man that was running for some position in New York. They should have voted for him. He probably would have helped curb some of that gentrification.
Right.
But he campaigned on the rent too damn high. And I can't remember his name. But, people just don't have the money like that to waste on a $7 cup of coffee when you can make it yourself or just go to somewhere like Valero and get their little stinky, crappy coffee. Or, like I said, make it yourself. You know what I'm saying?
People right, make it yourself.
Money like that. Yeah, go to the grocery store, buy all those little syrups and the whipped creams and blah, blah, blah. They have all of that stuff in the grocery store.
They sure do. Little enough.
Right.
It'll last a whole month, and then you go back and you get some more.
Right. Spending all of that money on those coffees throughout the month, you could go and buy a darn percolator or Keurig or something and make your own darn coffee.
Yeah.
Like we used to.
Like we used to.
Like we used to do. Okay. So, also, the house advances, and this speaks to our topic for tonight. The House advances dozens of bills to combat the nation's opioid crisis. I can't wait to read what's in some of those bills. How much money is being spent? How many states and counties within the state will be forced to provide Narcan?
Wow.
Like the first responders. Oh, gosh. You know what? But on our next opioid show, we will play that sheriff again. Okay, let's see. So Representative Greg Walden from Oregon called a suite of opioid-related legislation. The House passed through 38 bills. 38!
38? Are you serious?
Bills. Yes. 38 bills last week.
Just like
that? Right. That
just
tackled addiction and recovery efforts. And then they claim that these bills will also help with research on non-addictive pain medications and other modalities of treatment. Now, was it last week or the week before that I read that that we shared that I think it was the addiction recovery business? Yes. A $35 billion business?
Yes.
So see, they're writing these bills.
Huh.
And what did I just say? The modalities of treatment? See, all of that money, some people getting ready to make a lot of money off of people recovering from addiction.
Yeah.
Being addicted and recovering from it. Because the same pharmaceutical companies, and now I'm getting into the topic, the same pharmaceutical companies that provided the opioids, the painkillers, they provide the Narcan, naloxone, the Lazarus drug, what they call the Lazarus drug.
Oh.
And when the people OD, then they give them the Narcan.
Bring them back to life.
Right, bring them back to life. And also, then there's another new one. I think it's Suboxanol or something like that. Suboxanol. That's another drug that the addicts can take so that they won't take heroin. I said, wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. Hold up. You got the methadone and I hear you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But anyway, so they're just making money, as they say, hand over fist, creating the chaos. And then you claim to come up with a solution for the chaos. And this is the playbook. They are consistent. Consistent.
This is for centuries.
Always. So, and they have more bills on the calendar. All right. And then, so I'll just quickly go into our opioid factoid. Even though we're talking about opioids, this is very quick. I thought Scotty would be interested in this one. Parents and quote-unquote prison reform activists are very upset upset that the prison healthcare system, Corizon, just seems to not care at all about the people that are being jailed, and they are detoxing. And the healthcare system for the prisoners, Corizon, they just will not adhere to their demands for any type of medicine or treatment or anything like that. And they're just dying. They're ODing from detoxing in their cells alone, even when they ask for help. Now, I do think that that's horrible. That's really horrible. It really is. But sometimes, and I say this, and I say it also with love, sometimes these things have to come knock at your door in order for you to have some type of empathy for what other people have been experiencing. Mm-hmm. And there was no assistance, no help, no cry, no advocate.
Nope. So all backs were turned. They were called names.
Right. Prison's been having substandard health care.
This is not new.
Worse than substandard. To say substandard is an understatement. From some of the stories that I've heard about how you have no right to your body, if they want to take an eye, if the private prison industry, if they want to take an eye, if they want your eye, they will send your butt to surgery and take your eye. They will remove your eye. So I don't know. I'm not in prison, but I have heard some of these stories. So okay. Let's move on. Doing a damn thing, because we just have so much to talk about tonight. So let's just move along. Doing a damn thing. Anya Ehrlich, 9 years of age, won the National Penmanship Award. And you may say, "Oh, that's nice." Okay. But Anya Ehrlich was born without hands. For her to win the National Penmanship Award, and this wasn't her first time winning it. She won this award again. This is, I think, maybe her second or third time. So
more than that.
Well, we applaud her. Yes. Salute you, little sister. So that gave me inspiration because, as we mentioned before, about people that some people may believe that something is a barrier or this is a handicap, and it's not really a handicap because you have strength in some area, because we all come here with special gifts in order for us to not just survive but thrive. We have a purpose, we have a reason for being here, and until we live that purpose, we're going to keep going in this same little rotten circle on that little Ferris wheel.
This is true.
Discover your purpose. Discover your purpose. All right. Okay. So now we have a new little quirky little segment here that we are introducing tonight, and it's called a no ma'am and a no sir. Okay? And you might say, no ma'am, no sir. What in the heck they coming up with now? Well, you know... We're here to help. We're here to speak our truth, and we are here to grow together. And one way that we're going to grow together is we're going to take it back to how the elders, the real elders in the community, when they would literally pull your coattail when you were out of order, and particularly in your dress, or your language, your appearance, your overall appearance.
Right.
And if people will look back at some of the images, even during the civil rights movement, I mean, you look at Marcus Garvey walking around in a three-piece suit, Dr. Martin Luther King, three-piece suit, Booker T. Washington, three-piece suit.
Yes.
The ladies with these beautiful, beautiful dresses and hats and gloves. Yes. So we've always been a stylish type of people, or cultural dress, depending on wherever you live in the world. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about just helping people, because I see so many sisters walking around with these hair bonnets. And Featherlight, we talked about these hair bonnets before.
Yes, we have.
So we're gonna work through this. We're gonna work through this together.
We are. You know, when I was growing up, the children used to sit around and sometimes we'd hear the old folks, they would start the conversation. They would say something like, you know, back in my day, you go like, oh, yeah. Roll our eyes. So here we go. Back in your day. So now I'm at that age. Mm-hmm. I'm what you call older or senior. And I'm going to start this out with, you know, back in my day, you've never seen two men wearing the exact same shoes. You know, they may have, you know, Stacey Adams, a different style, you know, but not the same. And if you did catch, you know, two women dressed the same, it would be by mistake, you know. She'd say, oh, no, she did, you know. So everybody had their own style, you know, their own individual style. And no matter how many men you saw in the neighborhood, every one of them had a different walk, you know. They had like they practiced it, because every man swag, you know,
his own swag.
Yeah, it's like the song. I think it's T.I. and Nova. Like, no one in the corner like a swagger like. No one in the corner has a swagger like a swagger like. Yeah, because everybody had their own style. But now, I just see so many people just looking the same. A lot of men, they don't have the swagger because they got to, you know, hold up the pants. So they got to walk like a duck, you know. It's not so cool. And then the women, I mean, wow, we used to like switch, you know, have a little catwalk. You know, oh my goodness, men would whistle, woo-hoo, you know. Then you'd have those special little switch, you know. But I don't see that. When I see something that's just like really, really out of order, then if we can, we're going to snap a picture. If not, we'll just tell you about it. No, ma'am. No.
And no,
it's
sir.
Certain things.
So
we're going to call it out. And with love.
With love. With love. So the hair bonnets, that's a no, ma'am, sisters. That's a no, ma'am. Hair bonnets, those sleek black bonnets, you wear those to bed. To bed. Don't even wear it around the house, especially when your guy friend is over or your husband at home. Look cute. Do something with your hair. If you can't do anything else with it, pull it back, brush it back, put a scarf on your head. We look so beautiful with scarves. And so that's why we're not out here just trying to, like, talk about women that's doing this. We're trying to help you. This is not trying to crack on it. This is not about cracking on anybody or clowning anybody. But sisters, that is inappropriate. The bonnet, the hair bonnet, the sleep bonnet, it's a sleep bonnet. You wear it to bed. Especially if you have a husband at home or your guy friend living with you, and you get your butt up in the morning, you go in there, you take that bonnet off your head, wash your face and brush your teeth, and come up out that room and you look good for him. Because if you don't, I guarantee you, he's going to go somewhere where somebody is doing that.
It's true.
But then some of these people so broke down, my God, everybody, I mean, I'm like, what happened to us? I know what happened to us. That's a rhetorical question. When you are broken down, so how this system will do you. And when you separate, you know, I always take it to colonialism. When you separate the culture from the child,
right.
When the parents are not there to continue with the traditions and the culture and the ways and the rights and the education and the instruction, they know exactly what they were doing when they incarcerated our people and when they killed our people, because there's no one there to teach the babies the way.
Exactly.
And that's what we're saying. We're not trying to crack on you. We're saying we have lost our way. Anytime yes. you coming out the house in the city has to make an ordinance for you to put some clothes on and not come out with your pajama pants. We lost our way.
Yeah.
We lost our way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
don't let the city have to tell you that you need to come out the house and look decent. I know we're feeling bad, we're feeling broke down and depressed. I understand. Trust me, I do. Trust me, you got to feel something when you're dealing with this madness. I understand. But guess what? If they could do it during the Civil Rights Movement and they were putting dogs on them, we can damn sure still keep our head up. Hold
That's
your
true.
Head up.
Yes.
Hold your head up high.
Save
know
our culture.
Who you are. That's
yes.
right. Know who you are. Know who mm. you are. Know thyself. Let these people break us down. Got you walking around in some house shoes outside. Like something wrong. Where are your shoes, baby?
Right.
You know, we don't walk around like we don't have nothing. Come on now. Mm. I know you have some shoes. Because those are house shoes. And then
those
they make
house
the house shoes feather like with the outdoor soles.
Right.
So people can wear those little furry, colorful house shoes outside. That's a no, ma'am, and that's a no, sir, because the guy's wearing them too.
Yes. We have the picture on the BTR page with a young gentleman. Oh, mm-hmm. my gosh. I couldn't believe it. He had on furry house shoes in the store outside with socks.
So that's a no, sir.
No, sir.
That's a no, sir.
No, sir.
You can easily slip on some sandals or flip-flops. Okay.
No, sir.
We need to wrap that up and move it along to Love the Body. You want to share anything else on the no,
no,
sir, no, ma'am? Okay.
No.
All right. So that's the no, sir, no, ma'am for tonight. Okay. You have any questions, you can email us. Okay.
Yes.
Questions, comments, email us. You feel like we're a little too rough, maybe you can, share your thoughts. Just share your thoughts. But we want to help people.
That's what we want to do. We're healing.
Yeah.
All
healing.
Right. Have you shown your body love today? Every day, do something to show your body love. So we want to introduce today a 21-day sacral healing challenge. We've been talking about the second chakra, which is the sacral chakra. And we've been talking about the important role of it and how it affects our everyday life. And so we also talked about how we can heal this chakra. Okay, so the second chakra drains can come from imbalanced family dynamics, which we talked about earlier, power plays at work, people tend to play on your emotions and manipulate your emotions once they know they can. And also in relationships, a lot is communicated through your emotions, happiness, sadness, joy, disappointment, fear. And the sacral chakra is called the seat of emotions and also is called the pleasure principle. So when your emotions are not fully expressed or expressed indirectly, such as passive, aggressive behaviors, the second chakra comes out of balance and it affects the other chakras going up. So we're not going to just talk about this and say, you know, this is what you can do to heal and then move on. We want to extend a challenge to our listeners, this includes us, hosts and co-hosts, to incorporate some type of healing practice for this chakra into our everyday life, at least for the next 21 days. Just try it. You can do any of the suggestions that we've given you and that we will continue to give you each week. And also it will be posted on the BTR page. It doesn't have to be anything that's heavy laden or time consuming or physically difficult. Just start simple. So if you're already meditate and hold the image of an orange crescent moon or an orange lotus flower in your mind. And it's in the sacral area, the pelvic area, in your groin. So concentrate on that area. Drink more water. You can do that. However much you're drinking right now, just add a little bit more. That is a good way because you want to keep your body fluid and hydrated. So have that intent working on feeding your sacred chakra when you drink the water. So include foods like cinnamon, add a little cinnamon to your coffee, oranges, gemstones, or citron, and carnelian and rhubarb stones, things like those, patchouli, rose, sandalwood, lang lang, my favorite. So go online and see what the yoga positions look like that you can do for your sacred chakra. The child pose is great. It's my favorite. Meditate at the same time. And don't forget, release any shame you may be feeling. Whether it's past trauma done to you as a child or an adult, or is it a collective, like black people in this country, shame has the lowest vibration on the scale of emotions, the absolute lowest. It's 20. Guilt is next at 30. So we're about raising our vibrations on mind, body, and spirit. We're trying to go upward towards the 600 or 700 mark of enlightenment. But we've got to go through the lower chakras first to get there. Okay? Change. It's time for change. Change something in your life for the better. So now is the time. Doing this 21-day sacral healing challenge. It will end on July 11th. So let's go. Let's get started.
All right. So I do have some orange cloth so I can meditate with my cloth.
Okay.
I'll eat some oranges. Okay. So for 21 days.
21 days.
All right, I'm ready for it.
All righty.
Can we start tomorrow?
What we're doing. Okay, on a daily basis, try to do something every day.
Okay. Yeah.
Do something pleasurable.
Pleasurable. Remember the pleasure principle.
Right.
Pleasure principle. Yeah, you can email us or you can post it on the BTR page, on our Mind, Body, and Spirit group page on BTR. And don't forget to donate to the BTR, to Black Talk Media Project. All right, so that we can keep these shows coming to you live and create media centers. So you can always log on to Black Talk Media Network. Scroll all the way down and you can donate. All right. So feather light. Let's get into our topic for tonight. We're talking about the opioid epidemic. Has the opioid epidemic created a lost generation? Feather light. Last week we shared some highlights from the Oxiana film and on that documentary that focuses on the opioid abuse in Wyoming County, West Virginia. This town called Oceana is now known as Oxiana because of the oxycodone abuse. More than 70% of the town is addicted to opioids, oxycodone.
Wow.
Oxycodone pills. Over 70%. Okay, 70%. One of the doctors from like the hospital in the mainland area says that people are referencing this particular generation of people as the lost generation, these young addicts. They're the lost generation because it's lost work, lost lives, lost education, just lost. Just lost because not only are the addicts unemployable, but you have the parents who spend so much time and loved ones that spend so much time trying to keep these people alive, they can barely work. They're depleting their life savings, trying to keep these people alive, trying to keep their loved ones alive. And I can understand that. I can understand that. I mean, people are going broke, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars
for their children to be admitted into a rehab. And that's what happens quite often is the rehab centers, the $35 billion market, so many of them across the country, like you don't just call, say for instance, we live in Galveston, so we can't just like call Houston or Galveston and say, oh yeah, I want to come in, admit myself, I'm an addict. Okay. You need to call us back in 6 months.
Wow.
That's what they're offering. So, I mean, they have to, like, go basically addiction treatment center hunting across the country. You may live in Ohio, but you go to an addiction center in California.
Oh.
Okay, because they're the only ones that have an opening within the next month or two, maybe. So what's happening, and sometimes they may have an opening, say, in 3 days. But what's happening is the people, they tend to OD right before they go to the clinic because they're like, I'm going to get high one last time, then I'm going to quit. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or they die when they come out because they've been clean and then something happens or they just want to get high because it's an addiction. And then they try to take the same amount, say the same amount of grams of heroin that they used to shoot up or snort.
Oh.
And since they haven't been on it in whatever 30 days, 2 months, whatever it is, the time frame is, then they tend to OD when they come home. So could you imagine being
all
a parent?
You,
okay, I mean, you know, I know the money doesn't matter, but I mean, just I'm just saying. Just say, for instance, you spent $100,000 for 2 months for your child to become clean, to help them with their
addiction. Live a normal life.
Live a normal life. Then they come home, and that night they die. I'd be like, God damn it. I didn't know your ass was going to come right home and get high. You know what I'm saying? I would have just let you stay there. You weren't ready.
No, you weren't ready.
You weren't ready to come home. You know, so there are three sets of opioids. Yeah, and this is what's weird to me. Okay, there are three sets of opioids, but you have opioids, and then you have semi-synthetic opioids, and then you have opiates. Okay, O-P-I-A-T-E-S. Opiates, and then you have opioids. O-P-I-O-I-D-S. Okay. So all opiates are opioids, but not all opioids are opiates. Okay. Okay.
I'm a beautiful, I tell you.
Okay. Okay. Opioids provide pain relief, sedation, and they give you that feeling of euphoria. And the drugs that fall under the opioids, morphine, heroin, oxycodone, and fentanyl.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And so, let's see. Opioids category also includes synthetic drugs and natural. Okay, and so the semi-synthetic opioids, they're synthesized from one of the naturally occurring opiates, which are hydrocodone, heroin, and oxycodone. Okay. Now the opiates, O-P-I-A-T-E-S, come from the poppy seed plant.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And so those include morphine and codeine. Okay, we're familiar with those. And then there's one, Thebaine, that's T-H-E-B-A-I-N-E, and that's more of a stimulant. It doesn't even have the same effects as like morphine and codeine. Okay.
Mm.
All right. So we mentioned earlier during our hot topics that thirty-eight bills were passed last week that tackle addiction and recovery efforts. So I'm like Trump. Believe me, I'm going to be looking at those bills, and I will report back to you how much money. Remember, Obama ask Congress for $1.1 billion for the opioid epidemic, for funding to help in addiction recovery treatment. But y'all already have $1.1 billion. Now, how much more money are you asking for? How much of my tax dollars is going to this? Okay. When you still have people that are around here homeless, living on the street.
Money. Where did all? What
right.
is it? You have
exactly.
a special secret bucket that you're
yes.
holding?
Yes, they do. So West Virginia had the highest death rate from drug overdoses in 2016, with Ohio, New Hampshire, and D.C. and Pennsylvania following close behind. Okay? So about 100 people a day are dying from opioid abuse and addiction. Can you believe that? 100 people a day. And that's the low number. That's the low number. Because if it's being reported that
right.
anywhere from 90 to 100 people are dying a day, then it has to be at least 180 to 200, maybe even 300 people.
Right, because we always get the low number.
So this 100 number is... because, see, keep in mind, the coroners, and this is not even in every state, but the coroners have not been... classifying many of these deaths or recording them as opioid overdose, a fatal overdose, right? Okay, my speculation is, number one, you wanted to keep this quiet, that this was an epidemic, that these people were dying straight up ODing from all of these different opioids.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some of the coroners, they were recording the deaths as, say, liver failure. But, your liver failed from opioids. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Hepatitis. But you got hepatitis from shooting up.
Yes.
And your body just collapsed and gave out.
Yes.
You
like AIDS reports.
Exactly.
It indicted
heart attack.
Died from
right.
pneumonia. Yeah.
Cardiac
right.
arrest. They were recording as cardiac arrest or something like that. Or she died in her sleep. You know, or she died in her sleep. Right. So they were recording the deaths like that. So this number right here, this 100, I guarantee you, in a couple of years, I don't know. I'm not going to guarantee anything. But anyway, so the death toll has more than tripled since 2000, when about 17,000 people died from drug abuse. Okay, that's in 2000. So, let's see here. So let's just kind of recap some of what's going on in Oxiana. In Oxiana, that was a coal mining industry type of town. So, like in the 80s and 90s, people there in that area, they were, their salaries were, say, in the low 70,000, okay, 70K. You can come out of high school and go straight into the coal mine and earn a $70,000 salary, okay?
Wow.
Right.
Beautiful.
So, right, they were doing well. They were doing well through the 80s and the 90s. And then the coal mining industry pretty much had a bust, just like the automotive industry. And so, let's see, since last year, there have been 10,900 jobs that were completely lost in the industry. Back in the 80s, there were over a million, almost 2 million coal mining jobs.
Ooh.
Okay, so now, let's see, so there's over like 191,000 coal mining industry jobs that have been lost. Because of this, even before this, though, many of the coal miners, as we mentioned, were addicted to the pain pills because of the working conditions. Doctors were brought in to just basically numb them, keep them drugged out, keep the pain at a more tolerant level so that they can continue to work and not be calling in sick and can't come to work because my back hurt, my hip hurt, I'm sick, I got black lung disease, and I don't know it yet.
Whoa.
They just, you know, kept them drugged out, okay? So in this particular area, it's very mountainous, and there's nothing around there. So that's what many of the children, the younger people were lamenting about, because there's nothing to do but get high. And see, I remember a few years ago when people were talking about these farm parties. So I would see movies and the young people would have these farm parties. Well, see, the parents had all of these pain pills, all of these Xanax and drugs and Vicodin and all that. And the little children would have parties and they just dump all their parents' drugs in a bowl. And then you just pick a pill and take it.
Wow.
You know, what the hell they were taking? They call it a farm party.
I've heard of that. Okay, this one.
Yeah. you take all of your parents' pharmaceutical drugs and you bring them to the party.
F-A-R-M.
Yeah, pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so anyway, so that's one way that many of these young people became addicted. And also, if you played any kind of sports, of course, anybody that plays sports know that the doctors give you all these pain medications and all of this to help you tolerate the pain or ease the pain, alleviate the pain. Well, so these doctors began to overprescribe a lot of these young people pain medication, all of this oxycodone and all of these different pills. And once they finally couldn't get the pills anymore, they weren't prescribed the pills, by this time they're addicted. And so they had to turn to street drugs, more illicit drugs, like the heroin. So that's one way that people became addicted. I've read countless stories of how this young boy, he was a football player, or the young girl was a cheerleader, she hurt her ankle, and then they became addicted. So that's why a lot of parents across the country are suing the pharmaceutical companies, because the doctors and the pharmaceutical companies, because they're saying, you overprescribed this medication, and they did. Anytime you prescribe somebody 15 milligrams? We were talking about the person last week.
30 milligrams.
It's 30 milligrams. Mm-hmm. 30 milligrams. And 450 pills. That's
right.
You overprescribed and you don't need that. Nobody needs all of that.
So nobody needs that.
No. Mm-mm. So is this a lost generation, lost workforce, lost lives, lost education? Pharmaceuticals, the pharmaceutical companies, many people are saying, purposely created addiction or addicts by overprescribing these drugs. We mentioned, and we'll take a quick break in just a second, we mentioned also how the father and the daughter won that $12,000 lottery winners. I'm just so astounded by this. Spent that in 1 week. 1 week. You spent $12,000 getting high.
1 week.
In 1 week. By taking 1080 milligrams of oxygen. Like I said, I'm going to pray for you people. Right now, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. You are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, and we'll be right back with our opioids show. Is opioids creating a lost generation? Just say no. That was the one good thing that Nancy Reagan said. Just say no.
Just
we'll
say
be right
no.
back.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
All right, and we are back here.
The Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show, Feather Light. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great listening to all this information about opioids.
Opioids. Okay. Well, let me share a quote before we go back into our opioid discussion. We can say peace on earth. We can sing about it, preach about it, or pray about it. But if we have not internalized the mythology to make it happen inside us, then it will not be.
It will not be. It has
Shabazz.
To be inside. Love it.
A quote by Betty Shabazz. Yes, Queen Mother Betty Shabazz.
All honor. All honor.
You have a quote to share?
I was taking in yours.
Okay. Oh, yes. Take it in.
So here's a very quick one. Take it or leave it. Those who do not believe in miracles will never see one. Those who do not believe in miracles will never see one.
You'll never see one.
You don't believe it, you won't see it. You won't conceive it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't try to convince those people. They're not ready.
They're not ready.
It's not their time.
It's not
their time to see what you see.
No. So you have to move on. Take care of you. Focus on you. All right. So we're here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Thank you for sharing that quote, Feather Light. And we are talking about opioids. And is the opioid epidemic creating a lost generation? What are the impacts and the effects of opioid addiction? How is it creating like an octopus, and it's beginning
like
to touch
spider
more
web.
Lives? Right, it's touching more lives than just say the parents or the spouse or the children. And we're going to unpack that, not all tonight, but just stay with us because we'll have another show. We're going to keep talking about this because this opioid epidemic. A lot of money being focused and channeled in this direction, and when our people had crack forced on them, we couldn't get half of this help. We were arrested, jailed like animals.
Yes.
Okay. So with this opioid epidemic in West Virginia, you have people sleeping under bridges and tents, and they're using the gutter as toilets, and coal miners have become addicted as a consequence of all their job-related injuries. And since they don't have, since they lack all those coal mining jobs that once existed, you have so many people that are just laid off. They're not working. So they have to either become an addict or a drug dealer.
Wow.
Because not very many jobs in that area. Remember, they don't even have a mall.
Oh, wow.
So the teenagers can't even work in the mall. The nearest mall is 45 minutes away. This is Oxiana. No bowling alleys. And so, see, that's what people were talking about. I remember hearing the conversations around, when Reagan was in office. Why are they trying to close down all the community centers? Why are they closing down that park? Why are they closing down this? They knew exactly what they were doing, because if you close down these types of facilities for children, say, for instance, like in Philadelphia, when there was this push to close down so many of the libraries, why would you close down a library?
Right, why would you close down a library?
Why would you close down a community center where the children can go after school?
The community center where I was teaching and working with those students in Memphis, The last I heard, they were trying to close it down. That helped so many children after school. They had so many programs. It was sad. It was just sad.
So, one of the young men on the Oxiana documentary spoke about how there was a doctor in D.C. that would take a payment of $1,000, and he would prescribe 30 milligrams of Oxycontin for 1 month. And this person was supposed to take 30 milligrams in the morning. Okay, then take another dosage in the afternoon. About 5 tablets, I believe, in the afternoon. And then another 4 or 5 or 6 if you want to. Okay, at night. 200 methadone, 10 milligrams. This is all one prescription that he would give him. Wow. I mean, in one doctor visit. In one doctor visit. This is what you can obtain in one doctor's visit for 1 hour, $1,000. And 120 speed Adderall pills. And so this is why the parents are saying you overprescribe medication, because these pain doctors... I remember I was working at this office. I was working out of this office shortly after I first came to Houston, and I was completely unaware. And this was right around 2008, and this is when there was a spike in, well, let me see, was it 2008? I think it was around 2012, because it was like some correlation with Obama. I remember that. I have to go back and get that data. But anyway, there was this, I thought it was just a regular pharmacy in the neighborhood. I didn't know it was a pain doctor pharmacy place, one of those places. And I said, well, darn, that person was just at the doctor yesterday, because there was a little pain clinic, and then right next door you come get your prescription filled. And I would see the same people, because I sat at the window at my computer, and so I could see the people coming into the pharmacy, which was next door. And I was wondering, why were those people always lined up out there in the morning? I'm just completely clueless. And so my coworker, which was a young hipster little white girl, she said, oh, they're not really going to the doctor. That's one of those pain doctors. So she had to explain it to me. And this was like in 2000. This was about in 2009 going into 2010. Yes, I remember now. So completely unaware that people could just go to these pain clinics, pay the doctor $1,000, and could get more than enough pills. They had enough pills for themselves and all 10 of their cousins. Damn near, I mean, take care of the entire street, okay?
Wow.
But here's the deal. When somebody like myself would go to the doctor and try to have something prescribed for my back pain,
serious pain,
couldn't get anything. They told me to take some ibuprofen, 800 milligrams.
Yeah.
That's about all we're giving you. Ibuprofen, 800 milligrams. Take your butt home and deal with it, you strong black woman.
Right. And take you, and you may have to take 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah. But just take those. Yeah. Move it along. Move it along. Let me save the opioids for all the cheerleaders. My little affluent white cheerleader that hurt her ankle.
Right.
Go ahead with that little backache. Go ahead, black woman. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You can handle it. Handle it.
Right. You can handle it. And look at you now. And look at you now.
Look at you now.
Look at you now. Look at you now. Look at you now. My back don't hurt anymore.
And you're not hooked on drugs.
And I'm not hooked on drugs. Okay. While you sitting up here with your racist tactics and did not want to help black people with their pain, you saved all the pain medication for the white people. And that's what happened, because it's 70% of the white males are the addicts. 70% of the addicts are white males. We're only 11% of the addicts, black people. Even Hispanics have a higher addiction rate than we do. I think theirs is like 13%.
Quote the facts. Quote the facts.
Facts. Facts. Okay, facts. Okay, so with this addiction, it's so unfortunate. People are selling their bodies. I mean, prostitution, murder, armed robberies, break-ins. This whole town is a replica of what's happening exactly across the country. This is not just Oxiana. We're just speaking about Oxiana right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just a multitude of different criminal acts that are occurring as a result of people being addicts. Remember in the 80s and 90s, that's all we would see on the news. That's why you have some black people that don't even want to watch the news anymore, because they were so traumatized by seeing so many black faces.
Yeah.
People that were suffering from crack addiction, and they were slammed against the police cars and arrested and jailed. And God forbid you got caught with those three rocks on the Clinton.
Well,
it's not three rocks, but it's three strikes. One rock, you going to jail. Oh, you robbed the bike when you was 12. Oh, you stole some bread when you was 21.
Oh,
you got
three.
One rock.
That's
giving
three.
You life, buddy.
Yep.
Giving you life. They'll never see you.
Nope.
Never.
Nope.
You got that $10 bag of marijuana? Wait a minute. Okay, let me see. Okay, you stole a candy bar when you was 22, when you were 19. My goodness.
That's three.
What did you do?
Sorry.
You jaywalked. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Three strikes, you out. Life.
Thank you, Clinton. Thank you, Clinton.
Thank government. Because they did all, they plan all of this crap. I'm not even just going to blame it on Clinton. They lay out these laws 20 years ahead of time. How they're going to entrap us in a whole bunch of crap. Anyway, let me get back to this. 70 to 80% of this town, Oxiana, is positive for Hep C. It comes from the IV users. Okay, and this Roxycontin, these people, they call it Roxycontin, because they'll grind it up and snort it. Because, of course, you have different, how would you say it? I guess, like, different methods of how they ingest it. So some people will, you know, shoot up heroin. Some people just snort it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say they'll never get to the point where they're shooting it up. They just snort it. Okay. So, Xanax and Roxys are often mixed by some of the users, and they know that this is a deadly combination, but they'll still mix it. It's just like the fentanyl. So when some addicts, when they purchase a quote-unquote a pack, and this is what they call it, a pack, when they purchase a pack, they really don't know how much fentanyl is in that particular drug. Remember, fentanyl is the drug that was what is said that is the drug that killed Prince. But fentanyl is so potent, you can blow some fentanyl on somebody and you can kill them. They can die from that. So now, like when the police or EMS, when they go into these homes, that's why it's so dangerous, and that's why some sheriffs don't want their people, officers, having to come into contact with this, because you can touch the fentanyl, because it can be in a powder form, say in somebody's house or however they may have it.
Okay.
And if they come in there trying to save you or arrest you or whatever, and fentanyl is all on the table, it could look like maybe it's just regular cocaine or something. And they touch it, they can die. They'll be dead in 20 minutes.
Man,
and so that's just
powerful
how
stuff.
Exactly. That's just how potent it is. So I think it's like 50 times more potent than heroin, something like that. Mm-hmm. So for... many of
and
the
that's
addicts,
on the market like that?
Yeah, well, actually, fentanyl came out, I think, in the 1950s. It was in the 1950s, but it was for cancer patients that were recovering, like from surgery or something.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But now it's like, quote-unquote, on the black market.
Okay.
And, you know, people say, it's coming from China and Mexico. Hell, all our stuff comes from China and Mexico. Don't try to, you know, point your, oh, China, Mexico, you bringing over the fentanyl. Every damn thing we have in our house comes from China, pretty much, in Vietnam, Mexico. What are you talking about? So anyway, don't even get me started on that. So it takes about $600 to $800 a day to maintain a pill high. Can you imagine that?
What?
$600 to $800 a day to maintain this high. Now, what I wanted to mention is when people, when they hear about somebody OD down the street, do you know that the addicts, they want to find out where did they get that pack from? And they want to go to that particular dealer to get that pack. And see, this is what I was telling.
It's crazy that the person just OD'd on.
Because they know it's going to give you a good feeling. But see, what I was telling one of my friends is that, listen, these people are getting high off the death. Because they've gotten so high. They're chasing that high. Like people used to say, chasing that crack high. You'll never get that same high. These people can no longer get high. They'll say, well, I'm just, you know, I have to have this so that I won't get sick. Because if they're detoxing, it's like having the worst flu in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's my contention, Featherlight, and audience. And if this not true, you can call and tell me. But I tell you this, this is what I believe. These people are now getting high off the death, off of being able to die and be revived with the Narcan.
Oh,
because why
and they can
are
talk
you
about
running
it.
To
yeah.
get... Yeah.
Right.
Why, I don't even know if they want to talk about it. I don't know. Now, that part I don't know. But I do know this. Why are you going to get the same pack that somebody just died from? And when I say pack, that's their little pack of heroin. That's what they call it. Why do you want to go and have that?
Mm.
I thought, you know, you wanted to live.
Right.
But so why
that
do,
is
yeah.
scared.
That's like saying, oh, let me go get that gun. Let me go get that gun so I can shoot myself. What the hell?
Crazy. That is
so that's why I keep saying I don't want my tax dollars. I do not want my tax dollars going to constantly revive you. Because if you're just dying just to get high, you're getting
thrill.
High to die, rather. You're getting high so you can die and somebody can bring you back to life. Not on my tax dollars, you're not going to do that.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh,
you're
no.
not doing that off of me. Child, please. You better find some other way to get a thrill. That don't even make any sense. But anyway, I know the drugs can mess up your mind and all of that, so maybe that's one of the, I guess, side effects of the drugs. You're just not thinking right. You just you want to go and get the same drugs. It just calls somebody to OD. Now they may not like fatally OD. They may just OD. So what they're saying is, oh, it's a strong pack. It's a strong. It'll knock me out. It'll really really knock me out.
Right, right.
It'll give me
right.
such a cozy feeling. They say give them a warm cozy feeling, like a hug. And so that's why I say, parents, hug your children. Hug them. Show them some love. Because anytime these people are saying they need some, they want heroin because when they take it, it feels like somebody just gave them a hug. They're really missing something in their life.
Ooh, they're missing something.
They're missing something in their life.
Terrible void.
Yes,
terrible
a void.
Void.
Absolutely. 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 So there was this one particular guy that was speaking about, he has this folder. This is on the same documentary, Oxiana. He has a folder full of obituaries from classmates and neighbors, friends. Some people are realizing that half of their graduating class is dead due to pills.
What?
In my graduating class, there were 360 of us. Can you imagine?
Half.
Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh.
Over 150 people that I that you know, just bam, no. bam. I mean, they have like six people a week dying.
That's, I just can't imagine. Yeah.
Now, this one guy said, and I had to laugh when he said this. He said that when people die, and they have like 20-year-olds that are ODing. He said, so when the people die and they know that they died from ODing, they say, oh, he's been oxycuted.
Wow.
Oxycuted. Like electrocuted, but oxycuted.
So they got a
Lord
name
have
for it. It happens so
he was like, oh, hell. He 20 years old, hell. Hell, he did it to him damn self. He got oxycuted. He did it to him damn. He did it to him damn self. Did it to himself. I said, Lord, have mercy. Jesus, what? Nah, he did it to himself. Fuck him. Oh, hell, he oxycuted himself. I said, what?
Oh, man. It is Lord, so common.
Girl, I
it
have to grab
my name.
Invisible pearl. A name. A name. You have so many people dying from ODing from oxycodone that the whole town just says, oh, he's been oxycuted.
Damn.
Woo! Lord have mercy. In the same town, we mentioned this, the prosecuting attorney had to tell the drug task enforcement agency to just stop arresting them. Just stop arresting the addicts. Stop arresting anybody that's dealing when their crime is related to this opioid epidemic or crisis, because they were so overwhelmed with paperwork.
Whoa.
So the whole damn town, remember 70%, at least 70%. So just imagine, they had crime going rampant. They can't even keep up with the paperwork. But
wow.
Do we see all of this on the news?
No!
What you do is quietly pass legislation. That's what you do.
While Trump is making fake news and everybody else is making fake news, and we're so busy wrapped up in the fake news and the tweets, we don't see all these bills being passed. We wonder, why is my taxes higher? What happened?
Why my property taxes go up? Wait a minute, what happened?
When did I okay this?
What? What's this all about?
Did we have any input?
But you don't want to provide any WIC and welfare for families that are living in poverty. You don't want to give people $15, $20 an hour, $22 an hour so that they can really live. There was a study out that, it was something like... just think about the people that are on minimum wage. They literally cannot afford a 2-bedroom apartment. They can barely afford a 1-bedroom in some places. They can't afford
goodness.
It.
Oh my
goodness. If you're working, you should be able to have decent housing.
Yeah.
So we should be able to have housing based on a sliding scale. Based on what you can afford, which we do have that, but the problem is a lot of us are not informed and aware about how you can actually have this assistance.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm saying it should just be automatic, though. You don't have to go and apply and find out about it. Got to be on a 2-3-year waiting list. No. Since you don't have jobs for people, since you force some people in poor neighborhoods with poor education, so they have a poor job, just a vicious cycle, then we should have a sliding scale. Everybody should be able to have decent housing, even if it's just a basic amongst basic. Four walls, bathroom, kitchen, okay, fine. And a little backyard so that you can have a garden and grow your food so you won't be complaining about being on damn welfare. Let me
say
grow
that.
Some food.
Say that.
Exactly. And how about you let me collect the rainwater and not make it illegal?
Hmm.
That's stupid.
It is from the sky.
Who told you you were God and you own the water? All these people get on my nerves. Whew. So anyway, so since 2001, the U.S. has spent over $700 billion on this fake drug war. And that's what it is. It's fake. It's fake. It's fake. We know that. Mm-hmm. We know that. So, Featherlight.
Yes.
Just talking about this opioids, it just, I tell you, I do get a little buzz from just talking about it. I really do. I get a little buzz like they get high. But, because, I mean, I'm just like, I just think about it, and I just always compare this. Not that I don't have sympathy. I just always think about how we were treated with the crack epidemic.
You can't help but think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help but think about it.
Yeah.
We were here. It hasn't been that long ago. We're still suffering from it.
We're still suffering from that. And so, I mean, while all of these bills are being passed for the opioid treatment, can we get some of these bills passed for people that are still suffering from the residual effects of the crack epidemic?
That was put into the neighborhoods? That has been
damn hair bunnies. These hair bunnies. That's the residual of the crack epidemic.
Yes.
Because, see, my grandmother and mother used to tell me, baby, put a scarf on your head, keep your hair combed, make sure you look decent, pull your pants up, where's your slip? Wear your gloves. Comb your hair. Take a bath.
Take a bath. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
I want to pick up a girlfriend of mine, and she just wanted to run to the store, what have you. And she came out of the house with those little pink rollers in her hair. Very classy. I was shocked. I said, you're not going with me with those pink rollers in your hair. You can just do an about face, all those pretty scarves you got in there, slap that on your head and come back. And that's what she did.
That was good that you were a good friend and tell her that.
Oh, yeah. Told me.
Absolutely.
We are just going to the store.
Right. Look decent. You never know. And we're not trying to say, oh, you have to look like Lena Horne every time you come out of the house. We're just saying, let's keep ourselves together. Let's just look presentable. So we will conclude this opioid epidemic topic for tonight. Of course, we will continue to share our opioid factoids, and we'll have definitely another show. This will be a series.
You get
opioid epidemic.
Many snaps for that. Many snaps. That was good. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So we will definitely revisit this opioid epidemic. I will come back with some details on the bills, hopefully, when we have another show. So we will take a break. We'll come back with our African spirit. Be sure to go onto the Black Media Network page and donate.
Into the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, and so tonight for our African Spirit segment, we are saluting Jewel Plummer Cobb. She was a biologist born in Chicago, Illinois, January 17th, 1924. She grew up in an upper middle class family, and she was introduced to many cultural and educational opportunities. However, Jewel did not let that take advantage of her. She did not take that for granted. She read about African history books by historian Carter G. Woodson, writer Anna Bonatemps, and anthropologist Alison Davis. From these books, she learned to appreciate the Black struggle for equality. She knew that when she knew as a sophomore in college that she was interested in that microscope, she said, "Is for me. Biology is for me." So, let's see. She graduated at the top of her class at Inglewood. She was accepted to University of Michigan. But listen to this, Feather Light. Mm-hmm. At the time, there were few African American students there or at any historically white college or university. Despite three semesters of receiving excellent grades, Jewel realized that Michigan was not for her, in part because of the discrimination there at that particular time. Uh-huh. Michigan did not even allow African American students to live in the dormitory. So she made up her mind to leave. And then she went to Talladega College in Alabama. She was recruited to come out there. But see how this is what we speak about when we say all the discrimination that we have to experience, all of the dreams deferred.
Yeah.
All of the harassment.
Yeah. All the blocks placed in the path.
All of the oppressive nature that exists is woven into the fabrics that we have to consistently deal with at school, at work, and in college, and on the job. I mean, just all throughout your life, we're dealing with this crap. So her specialty became pigment cell research, specifically melanin. She was interested in melanin's ability to shield human skin from ultraviolet rays and the possibility that it evolved in Africa. Her research involved skin cancer known as melanoma.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so she became an educator, and she was able to fulfill her dream to engage in cancer research. Her research was conducted at the Harlem Hospital Cancer Research Foundation, the University of Illinois Medical School, and she also instituted its tissue culture research lab. She also established the tissue culture research laboratory and the Sarah Lawrence College. You better work, honey. Mm-hmm. And in 1993, she was presented with the National Science Foundation's Lifetime Achievement Award for contributions to the advancement of women and underrepresented minorities. Her photograph hangs in the National Academy of Sciences in Washington, D.C. An honor for her contributions to science. So,
wonderful.
Thank you. Yes. Jewel Plummer Cobb, we salute you tonight for our African spirit. Mm-hmm. And so it's in we've always been scientists, mathematicians, and that's why I want to honor many of these people that we've been sharing about the past 3 months now. In this book, I'm pulling this research from Black Stars, African American Women Scientists and Inventors, okay? Because we can continue to invent, and we do. We do. We're continuing. But you know what? We're giving away so many of our talents to these corporations.
Yeah.
But even when we do discover something on our own and come up with these inventions, some of them, okay, I read about the young man I can't quite remember. I want to say Ghana. He invented like a water-fueled car, something like that. Oh, he was found dead. You know, so he's going to come up with these different inventions and things. It's unfortunate what tends to happen. Dr. Sabi, I mean, all of these health practitioners that have spoken out about different healing tactics and modalities and research, and then they come up missing and dead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going off onto a tangent, so pardon me. All right, Featherlight, what else do we have?
Let's do the letter. We haven't done a letter in a while.
Yes, yes, letter. Letter. Let's do our letter. All right. So would you like to read the letter?
Sure, I'll read the letter. It's very short. Okay. Oh, it's a senior female, so I can relate.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Mind, Body, Spirit, I am a 63-year-old senior female. I have been in a relationship with a very nice gentleman for about 3 years. We met at a family outing and hit it off right away.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoy a lot of the same things, which is what attracted me to him, and I felt comfortable around him. He doesn't bore me. Oh, that's a plus. And he allows me to have my me time, which is very important, so important.
Oh,
we take trips. No baby mama drama with children grown. That's a must for me. Must. And he has a kind heart. Oh, another must. Hmm. All of that is great. As for the bedroom time, I would like more. I am open to do more, experience more. I listened to your show a while back, and you mentioned getting what you want in bed and other sex tips. I remember that. I began to think about, was there more? Question mark. Did I have fantasies unfulfilled? Question mark. Although my friend and I talk about many other things, we never seem to talk about sex. Let's talk about sex, baby. Okay. We just do it. Smile. I am not saying I like S&M, but if spanking falls under this, then I might like it. I don't know. I might like it. My girlfriend said if I don't try it now, I may never will. And I'm not getting any younger. No, darling, you know. But what will he think? Where did this come from all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm.
And is he not satisfying me enough?
Mm-hmm.
How can I get this started without appearing unsatisfied? And she has a quote, which I might be a little. and do men like bed toys? Question mark. Sign. Spicy Senya. Spicy Senya.
Okay.
Spicy.
Well.
Yeah, let me look at this.
I'm spicy senior. So, what do you think, Featherlight? Since she's a spicy senior and you're a spicy senior, what do you think for spicy senior?
Okay. So, first of all, let me get to the business part first.
Okay.
Then we'll go with the spicy. So if someone really seriously, if someone would ask me, you know, like what part did I play in many of my failed relationships, I'd have to say my part, because we all have a part, is my lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
I found it difficult to say what I didn't want and what I wanted, and I think I was trying to use telepathy and it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I would make a feeble attempt, but I wouldn't like put all of it into it. Like, well, I tried, you know. Communication is key. A closed life, a closed mouth don't get fed, as they say. So this is one area many of us we forget about when we're choosing a mate. Can you communicate with your mate past the bedroom? Sometimes you're like, oh man, I can't wait. But can you talk to this person? I think that was important. Speaking of talking to them and sex, I would not suggest the best time to do this talk in the middle of sex. I mean, let's talk dirty.
That's different. Okay. you could show the person, mm-hmm. you know, what you want by doing it first. That worked for me. You know, I actually had to show a guy how I like my breasts to be caressed by caressing his first, and he did the exact same thing. So it worked. Mm. You can try talking about this. These are my suggestions for how do you get to him that you want to try something different. Okay.
Okay.
So you can try talking about this during a very casual and private conversation with him. Maybe you're sitting at a table, could be out, could it be, you know, in the kitchen. And you're like teasing him with your bare foot. You know how you tease guys with, you know, you rub your foot up and down. Because you're getting him in the mood, okay?
In the mood, baby.
You know, it's all presentation. Presentation mm-hmm. is key. You got to say it mm-hmm. sexy-like, you know, move your body when you're talking, look in his eyes, smile. You know, so he'll be relaxed. Okay, mm-hmm. you can tell a lot about someone's eyes when you ask a question. Pay attention. Let him know that you've always been curious, but was too shy with other guys. You know, they like that. And you would love to try some things with him, especially since the two of you, you know, seem to enjoy each other so, and you feel comfortable. That's important. Let him know you feel comfortable with him to try something new, and just say it might be fun. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Let's go look at some things, you know, like at the little store. And you know, I'm going in disguise. You know, make it fun. Make it fun. Another idea is to plan a special evening. Okay, tell him that you're going to celebrate something. Make up something. I mean, don't make up. Don't lie. You can say the first time we kissed or the first time you knew that it was something special between them. Just tell them it's a celebration. And say something like, I'm going to have a date night and it's going to be over at my place. And I'll get everything all together. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so you set the room. You get all the – you entertain all five senses just like they do in Tantra. Mm.
Taste.
Yeah. Yeah, everything. Scented candles, oils. Strawberries, whipped cream, you know, mm-hmm. honey, all that. Lang Lang, the lighting. Of course, you're looking fabulous. You know, you're not mm-hmm. really dressed up now. You got to see through your lingerie on, maybe a big shirt with nothing underneath. You button some of the buttons. Or an apron with no panties, high heel shoes.
Trench coat with nothing under it, or trench coat. We're just throwing out some ideas for people, you know. Do what you like, though.
Yeah, right. Wrap yourself in some plastic wrap. Somebody did that. All right, okay. All so, right. Spanking. Tell him, because she mentioned spanking. I wanted to address
that. Okay, she did mention spanking.
Yeah, she said, I say. Tell him he's been a bad boy, and he's going to get a spanking. Then when he shows that he likes it, tell him you've been bad too. Which means you might need a little spanking too. Okay, so spanking actually enhances intimacy. You know, it's sharing something new, and I think a lot of men, they like spanking. They like doing it. You know, because it's like, oh yeah, baby, it's like an exclamation point. really, it's like, hey, wake up, here I am back here. You know.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
We got a lot of nadis. You know, nadis are like channels mm-hmm. that energy flows through. We got about 72,000 nadis in our bodies. I read it's about 2,000 in your buttocks alone. So that's really.
Okay. Is that why people like to spank or get spanked? Okay.
All right. So that's just. And when you do the spanking, men, you can tell when you've, you know, what your boundaries are, you know, by the expression on her face. If she's smiling and you're spanking and she's kind of waving her behind in your face, you know. But if she gives you one of those,
wait a minute now.
That's mean you've gone a little bit too far.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, start out gently, maybe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then you can elevate, okay. Right. So just test it out. See what works. Everybody is different.
Right. Everybody's mm-hmm. different.
Everybody's different, so.
Yeah.
This other person may like rough spanking. The other person may like a little gentle spanking.
True.
Yep. And what about the toys? She asked about men like their toys.
Right. I think some men like toys, and they're probably waiting on the woman to bring it up. I would say something like, what do you think about toys? You know, once you're into the conversation of mm-hmm. sexual pleasure. What do you think about toys? You know, mm-hmm. let's go look for some. What do you think? And that's why I say look in their eyes when you ask them that. You know, if there's a little glitter, you know, you catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Catch it. You know, mm-hmm. Don't always go by their response, their verbal response. Mm-hmm. Go by their mannerisms, their body language. If you see a mm-hmm. little glitter there, you know, it's like he's interested.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not sure what you feel about it. Oh, and stay away when you're using toys. Stay away from the buttocks entry. Okay, don't do that. That's a no-no. No, sir. No, ma'am.
No, sir. Some people may like it feather light.
I mean, when it's a heterosexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Girl and guy.
And some guys like you messing around with their buttocks.
You're not getting my message, but that's okay.
Okay. I'm being silly anyway. Okay, so the bed toys. So,
Go shopping. Shopping for bed.
I would say that too. Like, and if you, I think that if you're afraid to like introduce, say like the bed, like the toys, introduce the toys. I would say maybe. Say, hey, let's stop by this little shop, one of the sex shops, mm-hmm. and look for some oil.
Ah,
okay.
That's an easy intro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, let's go in here and look at some toys.
Right.
And then as you're looking at the oil, then you move around to the lingerie. Oh, what you think I look like in this? Oh, look at this.
Right. I love it.
And then you move on around down the aisle. Oh, let's go look over here. And then
right.
that way, if he feels an aversion to it, oh, he'll let you know. In fact, he'll probably say, I'm going to just wait outside while you go and get it. And even if he says that, say, oh, come on in with me because you're going to be using it, so let's pick it out together.
Right, I love
and
it.
And then if he's just like, nah, I don't want to go in no place like that, this is what I said. If you know deep down in your heart you want to try some toys,
mm-hmm.
you want some oils and some, what do they call those little balls and whatever, all of that stuff, vibrators, the butterfly, all of those sex toys. If you know that you are at a point in your life where you want to experience that, then what you need to do is find somebody else. And I will let this motel know, okay, you don't want to try it, I do.
Right.
I'm going to, you know, be trying this with Malik, okay? I sure am.
Yes.
You know, and he can't be mad.
Why deny yourself?
I'm not gonna, that's right. Thank you. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't deny yourself. Find someone that you can safely experience what you want to experience sexually. It is, we're ladies and gentlemen, we're too old. And life is for living.
It is.
For us to just continue to not feel the pleasure we deserve, not have the pleasure we deserve.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if he doesn't, if he or she is not interested, then find somebody who is. I'm speaking
find
for everybody now. Yeah, find someone who is. That's right. There's somebody
out there
that wants to. That's exactly. Exactly. Why deny yourself?
Why are their feelings more important than yours?
That's right. Why are they if you don't want to try all of this, that's fine, sweetie. Then you can go be with someone that doesn't want to try all of that. And I'm going to go be with someone that does, because you got to live your life. All right, so that's what I would say to the spicy singer. I would talk to him, like what you said, I would talk to him about toys that I may want to try. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of work it in easily. Work it into the conversation and just see how he responds. But
right.
You just never know. I certainly would try to find out, because you don't want to be missing out on some fun that the two of you could have. I personally haven't used a lot of toys. Not to say that I wouldn't, but I think a lot of times people, they just get so caught up in the same old boring sex, and they are afraid to introduce something different.
Right.
Because they don't know what the other person may think or things like that feel. So, yeah, it's time for us to open up.
It is.
Sex is beautiful. Sex is supposed to be a beautiful, beautiful encounter. But we perverted it, so.
Yeah. Made so many things taboo. What you do in your bedroom is your business.
That's your business.
What you want to do is your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of business, oh, do you have a story for us, right?
Yeah, if we have time.
Do we have
time? You want to do the gemstone for the evening or no?
Oh, I can just run through the gemstone quickly. So our gemstone for the evening is brown tourmaline. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's a shiny, it could be a shiny gemstone, opaque. It has striations. It's hexagonal in structure. And the properties of this tourmaline, brown tourmaline, clears your aura, aligns etheric body, protects your etheric body. Also, if you're having intestinal disorders, like maybe you've been eating too much meat or something, you may have some worms in your system. You can meditate with this brown tourmaline on your stomach. And it also attracts inspiration, compassion, and prosperity. It's also called the imperial tourmaline. You just hold it. Mm-hmm. Hold it or place it at the appropriate point. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I've heard people speak about how they, after meditating with black tourmaline, they have different visions. So, yep.
Okay, you know what? Let's see. I really want us to do our special pranayama lessons today.
Oh,
yes. Let's bring us into focus.
Okay.
Bring us into focus.
Bring us
into
focus.
R&R, relax and release.
Oh, relax and release.
Relax and release. So, I want to introduce tonight a few Qigong practices that we can do on our own, just every day, something every day that you can do. And first I want you to just raise your shoulders up to your ears and let them fall gently, naturally. Take a deep breath and just sink into the earth, ground yourself. Imagine you have roots connected to your feet and you're sending them deep into the earth, pulling earth's healing energy back into your body. And just breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your awareness to your breath and your body. As your body is still tense, just shake it off. Start with your heels, just kind of bounce yourself in your heels and then work your way up to your legs, your hips, your arms, your hands, just shake it off. Shake to your left, shake it to your right. That's the best way to get rid of stress. Okay, and then slow it down to a stillness.
And if you did your shaking really well, you should feel the chi running through your body, feel a little tingling. Now, inhale and raise your arms up over your head, palms facing, look up. Exhale and bring down universal essence and spirit over your crown, your torso, your hips, and down towards your legs and feet. So repeat this again for a total of 3 times. And now do some belly breathing. So as you're doing your belly breathing, following us Qigong practices you can do easily as often as you like with no strain on the body. And Qigong is a Chinese yoga, and it involves breathing and stretching synchronized. So you're synchronizing these two together. And if you can get in the habit of doing Qigong every morning, especially before you eat your breakfast, you'll definitely begin to feel and see some tremendous results, benefits. So start with a few and then work your way up. So these exercises work your organs, your internal organs versus your physical body, like our Western exercises. So we're going to start with your feet together. Bring your hands to your chest in the Anjali Mudra, the praying hands, and you bow and say Namaste. The divine in me honors the divine in you. Now step to your left shoulder, step to your left shoulder width, hands by your side. Now bend your elbows and bring your palms facing upward by each side, like the Jesus pose, like you're offering something. Inhale and slowly bring both hands up just past your shoulders. Exhale and flip your palms down as you do like a half circle towards your chest. Palms move downward towards your hips. Flip the palms over to the original position where you were with the offering, with palms open, facing up. So what you're doing is you're inhaling, circling your arms out. Then you're going to go to like your chest, and then you're going to bring it down like you're bringing down the chi. You're circling the chi, then you're going to bring it down. Okay? So this is just one smooth motion. So inhale, palms up, half circle to the chest. Exhale, turn the palms over facing down. And as you bring down, as you exhale, sink your knees a little bit and make the sound as you bring your hands back down. Okay, so last time, inhale, raise your hands with palms upward, make a circle with your arms forming right your chest, sink your knees, and exhale, bringing your chi downwards with palms facing the earth. Okay, so do this about 6 times, and it's a great way to wake your body up first thing in the morning before you eat your breakfast. This one is called painting with light. This lowers your blood pressure. So inhale and raise your arms to shoulder height, both palms down, fingers pointing toward the earth. Exhale, sink your knees a little and bring your arms down slowly with palms facing away from you as if you're about to say stop. Your hands should reach hip level before starting again. So inhale, straighten your knees, slowly bring both arms up to shoulder height, palms down, fingers pointing toward the earth. Now exhale, sink your knees a little bit to the stop sign, slowly bring your arms down. It's like you're painting a wall with 2 paintbrushes. You go up the wall with the 2 brushes and then down the wall with the 2 brushes. And by doing this move, you relax the nervous system. And by relaxing the nervous system, you lower your blood pressure. And that should feel really good. I really feel relaxed when I do this. Okay, this last one is called connecting heaven and earth. Now, this is great for back problems, and it opens up the vertebrae. Okay? So raise your left hand over your head with palm up, facing the sky. It's a good stretch. And at the same time, push your right hand down toward the earth with your palm down. Inhale and then switch positions. Bring your left hand down, right hand up, palms facing each other, in passing, and then switch. So as you're passing, they're coming in front of you, they're just changing. Do the right hand down, left hand up, switch, left hand down, right hand up. This is a wonderful stretch, and it's part of the popular Qigong practice called eight brigades. It's good for the organs, and this is particularly good for the spleen and the stomach. So as you end this, you're going to bring both hands to your chest and then slowly palms down, smooth out your energy and your chi. And then lastly, we're going to do what we've done before, the chi shower. Inhale, swoop arms out to the side, bring the chi down over your body. Again, inhale, swoop the arms out to the side, look up, exhale, bring the chi down. Last time, we're going to do the Angela Mudra with the praying hands. Swoop up, bring your praying hands down in front of your chest, bow, smile, always helps to smile. The divine in me honors the divine in you. Namaste. I hope you enjoyed these few Qigong exercises and that you incorporate them into your day.
Thank Namaste. You. Yeah, I almost fell asleep doing some of them. I was so relaxed. Oh my goodness. Yes, and remember the challenge.
Right.
Don't forget to follow the challenge, and you can update us on the BTRs. What's the challenge again, Featherlight?
21 day, do something every day to work your sacral chakra, your healing of the sacral chakra, even if it's just drinking extra water or meditating, looking at orange down in your sacral area. Do something pleasurable. Enjoy yourself. Have some good sex.
All right, on that note, namaste.
Namaste. See you next week. Love the body.